bet the board.
What do you mean you don't bet?
I mean, I don't bet. You know, I don't gamble. I don't. I never have, and I never will.
Yeah, right.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
You owe me $15,000, pal.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
It's the Bet the Board podcast.
God likes me. He really, really likes me.
In the end, I wound up right back where I started. I could still pick winners, and I could still make money for all kinds of people back home. And why mess up a good thing?
Here's Payne Insider and Todd Furman.
Welcome into the Thursday edition, NFL Week 14 style of the Bet the Board podcast, powered by Bet Online. We weren't with you last Thursday to preview the full card, so we'll attempt to bring our A game. Of course, we'll be joined by the one, the only Dave Mason from Bet Online to talk about exactly what his sports book is looking at for this upcoming weekend. But before we get to Dave, I want to welcome in my esteemed co-host, a man that doesn't need to be verified on Twitter, Payne Insider.
That's not a bad little intro. I'm on the horn with two very important people, two people that have agents, two people that have check marks. I'm just the lowly sports bettor over here eating some porridge, hanging out with you boys.
Well, you know what? If my agent was negotiating deals, Payne, I might have to try and hold out for a stiffer contract in 2016, assuming we bring this podcast back in a increased capacity. You know, maybe a little video component, maybe a little makeup artist, clothing deal. We got to take this thing to the next level for us and our loyal listeners.
No problem with that at all.
And for those folks new to the podcast, that other voice you hear is Payne Insider. You can follow him on Twitter at Payne Insider. I'm Todd Furman. You can follow me on Twitter at Todd Furman. Subscribe to Bet the Board, iTunes, SoundCloud, or visit us at toddstake.com. And Payne, as we do for our Thursday custom, we want to look back at just the Monday night game. Of course, we recapped all the NFL Week 13 games on Monday, so if folks missed those, they're welcome to go back and listen to the Monday edition of the podcast. But what were your main takeaways from the debacle known as Cowboys and Indians between the beloved football franchise in Dallas and the once in control of their own destiny in the NFC East Washington Redskins?
Well, it looks like Rod Marinelli's really got the Cowboys defense firing on all cylinders. A lot of guys are healthy. The cornerbacks, you know, still not great, but that front seven is fantastic, and they're really leaning on that side of the ball. Matt Castle, extremely inept. I can't believe that they haven't produced a little something better there, gone out and got somebody. I mean, just Castle's really holding them back early on in that game. Just missing wide open throws. Didn't even look like the ball wanted to leave his hand, really. That's how the lack of confidence he had there. But the defense did enough. So that will probably carry them again this weekend.
And what about the thoughts on the Redskins? We talked about it arguably being the biggest Monday night game in the last 10 years for the franchise. We know what the numbers say. We're now 1-14 straight up the last 15 times they've hosted a Monday night football game. But clearly they look like a side ill-prepared for anything the Cowboys were going to do, and countless mistakes, even going late in the game when DeSean Jackson fumbles the punt. Despite Dallas's ineptitude, Washington had plenty of chances to get out of there with a field goal victory.
I mean, you know, that's DeSean Jackson in a nutshell. Feast or famine. You know, you talk to a lot of guys, there's a reason he wasn't retained in a few of his prior jobs. He's that kind of cancer. You can't debate the talent, but, you know, he's got an issue there. And the rest of the team, when you really look at this team, their deficiencies, you know, they're kind of, it's a nice story, but you can't win on the road. You can't run the ball, and you can't stop the run. Those are things that you need to be consistent, and that's why they lack consistency, because you can't stop the run. You can't run yourself. And so, you know, those are their core issues, obviously.
Well, when you talk about lacking consistently, clearly it's a division from top to bottom that lacks such an attribute. Right now at Bet Online, the Eagles, a 2-1 favorite to win the NFC East, the Giants right behind them at plus 210. You're looking at Washington checking in at 3-1, and the Cowboys a shade over 3-1 themselves. Payne, I know we'll get to some of the individual games shortly, but as we look at the division snapshot right now, can you make a case for any of these being worth a value bet, or is it just too muddled a picture to try and even get involved?
You know, it's absolutely muddled, but when stuff like that happens, it's when value is presented. So there's a lot of, you know, to me looking at this, a lot of value out there, but I don't need to place a bet at this time because I already have the Eagles to win the division from before the season. Could have gotten a better price now, obviously, but I still think that might have some legs. Big game this weekend in the Cowboys, where we thought that that little flyer future we discussed before the Carolina game at 66-1 had some legs, potentially with Romo back. That still potentially has some legs now, so I'm not going to double invest there. The Giants, I just don't know what they are. We talk about their end-of-game lack of strategy and just throwing games away, but at the end of the day, when you look at these metrics, they're very fortunate to be even where they are. When you're looking at net yards per play, how many yards they've surrendered, they're way down bottom of the pack. Offensively, it's Odell Beckham Jr. or nothing else. So that dynamic offense really isn't all that dynamic. And then the Skins, I'm just not sure. Even though they control their own destiny in that division, I'm just not buying it right now.
And you mentioned the Eagles and the big game they have this weekend. Of course, Eagles-Bills we'll preview in greater detail, along with Green Bay playing host to the Dallas Cowboys. Giants and Dolphins, something that you'll hear more about on the Bet the Board Monday Night Football edition podcast for Week 14. And the Skins and Bears, I'm not sure I even want to waste my time on that Sunday showdown. But a man who I never would call time-wasting, I want to welcome in Dave Mason from Bet Online. Dave, as Payne told us before the podcast, absence makes the heart grow fonder. We missed you last week, buddy.
Yeah, I missed you guys, too. I didn't know what to do Thursday. I was just sitting here all day in a fog. I didn't know what the heck to do.
Well, hopefully you were able to be, you know, relatively productive, all things considered. But as we typically start, most important thing, how did last weekend end up for the house? I know there were some interesting decisions. Have to think that Monday night with Dallas coming in and the game staying under worked out well for you guys as well.
Yeah, I mean, we started off, it was a disaster with that Packers game last Thursday night. I mean, that Hail Mary was just, it looked like a huge winner, and that one play just swung to a huge loss for the house. But, you know, that happens, and we got it back over the weekend, and like you said, Monday night was good for the house. The players, obviously, the Packers was huge, Broncos are big for the house, Patriots, or the Eagles was huge. That killed so many teasers too. 49ers, Saints, and of course Monday night. But yeah, overall it was a good weekend. College football went well. You know, I wasn't here last week, but previous Saturday, that college football Saturday was just a massive win for the players. It was the biggest single winning day in the history of Bet Online for players. So last week's college went a little bit better for us. So yeah, overall it was a good weekend for the house.
It'll be good to get your thoughts on some of the college football games moving forward as well. And an informal announcement, Payne and I are still very much in the process for our loyal listeners of putting together an esteemed lineup for a bowl podcast. We won't do every game in great detail, but we will try and highlight some of the bigger games right after the holiday rush and people need to replenish those wallets with all the Christmas spending. Details to come in the next handful of weeks. Now, Dave, as far as liabilities for this week, we know the Sunday night game, at least on paper, looks to be one of the bigger bets from the general public. About 85% of the action, generally speaking, appears to be on New England. Any other games aside from that one really catching the house's eye as we head towards the weekend?
Oh, yeah. Well, tonight's going to be a big one, it looks like. I mean, that line's moving before our eyes. It's already up to minus 10, it looks like. Cardinals are 10-point favorites. I mean, that just went from 9 to 9.5 to 10 within the last hour, it looks like. But, I mean, the public's on the Cardinals. We got about 77% of the total money's on the Cardinals. That was also some sharp stuff on the Cardinals as well, helped that move up. Lions are a big play. That's currently a pick'em against the Rams. That's about 85% of the early money is on the Lions. Packers are a huge play. About 80% of the money's on the Packers over the Cowboys at that minus 7 there. That's going to be a huge teaser game too. So, you know, everybody's going to have teasers keyed on that. So that's not only, when you look at a spread like that, it's not only, you know, will the Packers cover or can the Cowboys cover? But, you know, even if they do cover, there's so many teasers keyed on that game. That's not a guaranteed winner for the house.
And along with, you know, some of the liabilities, have the sharper bettors started to tip their hand in terms of what games they might be looking at for the upcoming weekend?
A little bit. As I said, tonight there's some sharp money on the cards that's helped that line move up to double digits. Pittsburgh got bid at plus 3 flat. That's plus 3 minus 120 now. A little bit on the Bills early. I mean, they opened up a small underdog, and they're a very small 1.5-point favorite now. So we took a little bit of sharp action on the Bills against the Eagles. That's about it for right now. You know, hate to sound like a broken record, but sharp action is coming in a little bit later this season for whatever reason. They'll start flying in a little bit more this afternoon and, of course, through the weekend.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if betting patterns change throughout the market when we talk about college football volume. You know, you don't have a full slate of Saturday games, so you do have bettors out there looking to get in action, both sharp and some of the recreational guys. So I know there'll be a little bit more volume on the NFL card on Sunday than we typically see. At least that used to be the trend out here in the desert as we got later in the year.
Yeah, we'll definitely see that too. I mean, the numbers on the NFL will go up, and of course college basketball will really bump up. College basketball always starts a little slow, but you know, once the college football slows down, we see a lot more action on the college basketball. And of course, you know, we have it total on every game, so on every college basketball game, which is kind of unique, so we welcome the college action.
And of course, Dave, as our players are looking to try and make sure they firm up their shop for all that bowl action that'll be coming up fast and furious starting a week from Saturday, what kind of promotions you guys have going on for new players, reload bonuses, and folks looking to try and get back in the mix during this holiday season?
Yes, sir. Well, we still have the 50% newbie bonus. If you don't have an account at betonline.ag, you're going to get a 50% welcome bonus. And that's maximum $1,000 worth of free plays. So use bonus code BTB50 if you want that 50% newbie bonus. And for existing customers, if you already have a BetOnline account, we'll give you a 30% reload, one-time reload. Use promo code BTB30. All the information, terms, and conditions can be found at www.betonline.ag/bettheboard.
Dave Mason, you can follow him on Twitter at Dave Mason, B-O-L, one of the best industry follows out there. When you're looking to understand exactly who the house is rooting for, they'll always encourage some money coming in on the other side. Dave, always a pleasure getting your thoughts and take on the upcoming weekend. Glad to have you and get back in the saddle this week, my friend.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week.
Best of luck this weekend. Dave Mason from Bet Online, everybody. And Payne, one of the games that Dave hit on, I think probably you have to call the most intriguing one of the weekend with some playoff implications in the NFC playoff picture. The Steelers go on the road to Cincinnati. A series of Steelers have really dominated in Cincy, 9-2 against the spread the last 11 when they've played down there. As Dave mentioned, some sharp money coming in at 3 flat. What's your take on this game and how we should be viewing both of these teams at this current point in the season?
I think the big takeaway here is evaluations of quarterbacks in terms of their correlation to the spread and then their true value and how that value differs from oddsmaker to oddsmaker. We've seen this repeatedly with big-name quarterbacks and what they're truly worth to the spread. And it seems when you really look at this, when you look at the Steelers team as a whole and gauge their efficiency metrics from a season-long standpoint, books have had a tough time compensating enough for the return of Big Ben and the upgrade to Big Ben from guys like Landry Jones and Mike Vick. And that belief of mine can be backed by fact. Took serious money at Seattle, should have won that game outright. It was a real position by the pros. Took serious steam Sunday night against the Colts. As low as 6.5 in the market, closes double digits. You know, they win running away, 39 unanswered. So here we go again. This opened as high as 3.5 some places, and now we're going to see this trend through the key towards 2.5 very soon. As Dave alluded to, Pittsburgh is very real this week.
And when you talk about a number like this that's moving down to the 3 even, how much should it change the casual bettor's handicap? Obviously for pools and contests, you still have an opportunity to grab 3. You're not worried about the juice. But going from a 3 flat to a 3 minus $1.20, still warrant an investment if you were so inclined to back the Steelers, at least at this point?
Yeah, I mean, depending on you know, how much you like the game, there's still some opportunity there for 3 minus $15. That's probably still a very, very good bet. You could probably use a teaser to your advantage, which kind of you know, add some value there as this trends towards 2.5. You kind of alleviate that juice. You can take it to 10. But, you know, not every week is going to turn out like the Cowboys did, where, you know, you can miss a 4, 4.5 and still take, you know, 2 and get the win. That's kind of just bad business, but that's how strong that position was. at this point, this seems to be a game trending towards that. But, you know, I'm not trying to instill, you know, bad betting manners, so to speak, and because that's not going to do anything for you long term. But clearly there's still some three out there, and at three, at minus 15, it's probably still a very, very solid bet.
Well, one thing before I guess we officially close the book on that Cowboys-Redskins game that we talked about at the top of the show, I think a lot of our listeners would be surprised with one of the trends you saw at halftime for that game, how strong they were still coming in and betting the Cowboys, despite it being the worst of the number.
Yeah. You know, when you can kind of look at the game and engage it, it becomes a much different picture. You can have that feel for the game. You can see how things are trending. So there was definitely extremely real money on the Cowboys coming in at half. It opened as high as plus one on the adjusted number, and I think I saw it even close, you know, minus 1.5. So we did see a strong take from the pros, not only pregame, but again at halftime as well.
Now, always bears watching. Plenty of opportunities in this current market, especially at shops like BetOnline, that if you miss the key number before the game starts, you may get a live opportunity, of course, the more traditional method, to come in at halftime. And you talked about that being a very real move. Dave talked about the very real move he's seeing at his shop on this game between Buffalo and Philadelphia. Philly actually opened a short favorite. Buffalo now a short one-point chalk. Total in this game, 46.5. We hit on this a little bit on Monday, talking about how, yes, it was a move, but it wasn't through any key numbers, so it shouldn't drastically change the handicap. But the Eagles probably the most fortunate last weekend when you go inside the box score and see them beating the Patriots as north of a touchdown underdog, despite really getting outgained for extended stretches of that contest.
Yeah, I think you probably, you know, hit the nail on the head there. Obviously, you know, Shady McCoy, big revenge game heading back home. I know he is really liked in the Bills locker room. So aside from being a huge game for playoff implications, this is a game that, you know, players look at how other players are treated in this league. And McCoy is kind of that guy in the locker room now, so they're going to gravitate towards him. It's been further built up by the media and his quotes this week. And I think when you look at this from a market perspective, you know, you nailed it, you know, with your question, are the Eagles really back? You know, you certainly have to commend them for showing effort after quitting back-to-back weeks against Miami and then national TV on Thanksgiving. They could have easily done the same last Sunday. The Patriots jumped out to a 14-0 lead. You have to credit them that they did not quit. However, you know, their offense remains an issue. You know, they put up their usual 14 points on the board just as they were during their slump. You look at the rest of their metrics, total yards, efficiency on third down, it's all the same, really. But you get the two special team scores, you get the defensive touchdown, and the scoreboard reads 35 points, and you win at Foxborough. So the casual fan in the market will say, you know, Chip Kelly's offense is back. Maybe they're on the right path. You know, they're getting Sproles more involved. Ryan Matthews is practicing this week. He should be cleared from the concussion. I alluded to this on the Monday pod. We saw that 3rd-and-11 throw from Bradford. Looked like he gained some confidence there. Maybe that carries over. I'm still not ready to back them yet. I'm not willing to double invest, so to speak, with that Eagles division future on the line. And so far, the Bills have taken some real money. We'll see if it continues to trend that way or not.
Now, you've also been real critical of the Bills' defense all season long. What is your main takeaway from watching them? Yes, they won 30-21 a week ago against Houston, but in the process surrendered north of 400 yards for the second straight week, and doesn't appear to be that stop unit that we expected early in the season, knowing how much talent Coach Ryan had to work with.
No, we've talked about this for weeks on end. We've been talking about Buffalo and their defense for 2 months now and how they're overrated. They have an overrated coach who wins press conferences. He's not very good. Buffalo got really conned into that whole move there. And we'll see how those contracts affect this team moving forward. They really invested to win now. Obviously, losing a guy like Kyle Williams on your defensive line doesn't help. The rest of the defensive line is beat up. Some issues at linebacker. They're not great there. You get rid of Kiko Alonso, so that's hurt some. But we had them 27th in defensive efficiency. You know, this is a team that Rex Ryan inherited. They've been a top-5 defense in efficiency terms the last 2 years prior to him being there. So regardless of injuries, it's the NFL. Everybody has injuries. Deal with it, find replacements, have depth, whatever the solution is. But injuries just aren't going to suffice as an excuse. And they're 27th in defensive efficiency. They're not very good. So it'll be interesting to see where this total goes. Philadelphia, you know, their defense looked pretty good again last week. Granted, you know, New England without some weapons there, but the defense looked like they got back on track, a team that we had top seven in defensive efficiencies prior to the Lions game. So very, very interesting with that total. I don't know. I'm hearing some under money there, but, man, I don't know if I agree with that. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, tough to try and figure it out because the Patriots did put up chunk yardage. A lot of that came, though, in comeback-type mode. Really tough to try and figure out exactly what the primary takeaway should be from Philadelphia. They could struggle to slow down Sammy Watkins being as banged up as they are in the secondary. You mentioned the NFL being a league of injuries, and, of course, one man's injury in Denver has created all sorts of opportunity, not only for Brock Osweiler to continue to get his seasoning as an NFL starting quarterback, but for the Broncos to turn the corner this season and become a real viable playoff and Super Bowl contender. You're looking at Denver, a 7.5-point favorite over the Oakland Raiders. Total in that game, 43.5. Oakland on the flip side, their game a little bit misleading against Kansas City. They had a 20-14 lead at one point before giving up 20 unanswered, outgained the Chiefs, and for one of the first times all season, Oakland's defense rose to the occasion, holding Kansas City to 89 yards rushing and only 143 yards passing. Can we make the case for them being a live dog going on the highway to take on the Broncos?
You know, there's been some early money on the Raiders taking 7.5. I can certainly see why there's been some of that money in the market. This is their Super Bowl. At 5-7, you are two games back of the Chiefs, Jets, and Steelers. So this becomes basically win or go home. And when you really look at this matchup, the way to beat the Raiders and where they are weak is the secondary. And as much as an upgrade as Brock Osweiler's been, you look at some of his deep passing numbers. He's just 3-16 on passes of 15 yards or more in his first three starts. So, and many of those were aided by kind of traction issues that Sunday night in the snow against New England. That said, the Raiders have been pretty horrific of late, just bad. The old Raiders have kind of reared their ugly head. Jack Del Rio, who we haven't thought highly of, is kind of showing why he's been fired often in this league. This will probably be his last go-around as a head coach. They've lost 4 or 5, and if not for the NFL and Jeff Triplett, it's 5 straight. And Derek Carr really starting to, locate the opposing team more often. He's missing open guys downfield. We saw that crossing pattern with Crabtree this week where he's going to walk in for a 35-yard touchdown. Completely overthrows him, not a defender in sight. Is it possible Amari Cooper's hit the rookie wall a little bit? And when you talk about finding ways to win games or, for that matter, lose games, teams like this who haven't been in that spot before tend to struggle in crunch time. And looking at the fourth quarters of the Raiders, looking, you know, past 2 months, aside from 14 at the Steelers, you're talking 3-3-0, 3-0-0, 7-0 points in the fourth quarters of games the last 2-plus months for the Raiders. So not getting it done in crunch time either. I think I am going to not, you know, tail some of that Oakland money. I think Denver probably makes an attractive teaser leg, but for me, I think some under makes some sense here as well.
Yeah, I'm not a math wizard, but those figures you rattled off, not exactly consistent with trying to rack up wins. And in the process, Oakland over their last 4 games has failed to surpass the century mark running the football. They did get to 99 against Kansas City, but the previous 2 games averaged less than 3 yards per attempt against the vaunted run defense known as the Tennessee Titans and the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, and the other thing about this Oakland defense is early on in the year, they were stout against the run. That has not been the case. They're trending backwards each week. We now have them on a season standpoint, you know, under 20th in run defensive efficiency. The loss of Tuck, the loss of Alden Smith on those defensive lines are really starting to hurt them.
And not a good recipe for success. For those folks looking for a silver lining with Oakland, they have fared extremely well in this rivalry recently. 7-2 against the number, the last 9 on the road versus Denver. That trend comes to us courtesy of our friends at Oddshark. America's Game of the Week, Sunday afternoon. Of course, it won't have the same star power that a lot of us anticipated early in the season, let alone 3 weeks ago. The Dallas Cowboys and their modest 1-game winning streak go on the road to Lambeau Field to take on the Packers. Green Bay, a 7-point chalk in that one. Total at 42.5. We have seen some under money come into the market earlier this Thursday morning. I guess, Payne, the biggest question I have for you, can Dallas seize this momentum? Can they disguise Matt Castle's mess that he's created, as you mentioned earlier, and how much will the emergence of Dez Bryant in the game plan for what feels like the first time all season potentially help this passing game?
You know what's really interesting about this game is the Cowboys gain all the confidence in the world. They get a big road win against the team that's in first place in their division. And you get an owner come out in the media finally after a win and rips the Cowboys coaching staff for not being able to win enough without Romo. Jerry Jones, you know, he is the Deshaun Jackson of owners. I just don't get it. Like, why come out now and say that? So that has me a little nervous. But for the Packers, this is a similar situation to the Eagles. You know, are they truly back? Or did that win kind of camouflage this team's issues or continue to camouflage their issues? They've lost 4 of 6, should have been 5 of 6. I think the blueprint obviously out at this point on how to beat them. You jam the receivers. None of them can consistently beat man coverage. The ground game been inconsistent, so they can't lean on that. And then we talked about this a little bit earlier. We teased it. There is weather that needs to be factored into this game and a lot of games this weekend. We're now into the middle of December. Handicap the weather. Look at the weather before you place all your bets this time of year, just to double check that. So because of the weather, because of the Packers' offensive struggles, because of Matt Cassel and his ineptness, this total is going to continue to tick downwards off the 43.5, off the 43. Big revenge game for the Cowboys. They went into Lambeau, lost in the playoffs, a game they felt they were kind of wronged by the officials and the whole Dez catch, not a catch. So when you talk about that total continuing to tick down, points become more valuable. I suspect we'll see lots of professional money on the boys as well this week, and the total to a little stronger effect.
A favorite has fared extremely well the last 20 times these two teams have gotten together, 17-3 straight up, 15-5 against the spread. Payne, you mentioned the number and potentially seeing some professional stuff coming in on Dallas. From the point spread perspective, seeing a 7, do you feel like that's the book's truest number here, where they're still really trying to figure out exactly how to evaluate both of these two teams amid those questions that you outlined, Dallas figuring out who they really are, and Green Bay, if they're back, despite should have been losers in 5 of their last 6?
Yeah, you know, this is one of the tougher games to line, I would think, if you are a bookmaker. You know, you're still at 7, 7.5, and, you know, the public is still backing right now at this point Green Bay. You're looking at 7 out of every 10 tickets. And when you talk about 7 out of every 10 tickets against the Cowboys, a public team, you know, that's pretty significant. So Green Bay is still being priced like an elite team in the market, although we kind of suspect a little differently. Maybe that huge win, the Hail Mary, kind of, you know, revitalizes them a little bit. We'll see. You are what you are. That's the, you know, there's no question about that. This, it scares me a little bit because we know the Packers, if they do get out, if they do get healthy, you know, they tend to come out early and often. If somehow Dallas gets behind early and has to play catch up with Matt Cassel, that could bode some issues, not only to this total, and not only to the spread perspective. So if you're looking at Dallas, if you're looking at this under, the key here is for Dallas on a short week traveling to at least keep this game tight early on.
Well, you talk about a team that and a play that may have revitalized the Packers season. Clearly the artist formerly known as the New England Patriots going through a bit of an identity crisis themselves. Patriots on the road against the Houston Texans, laying 3. You do have to lay $1.25 right now at BetOnline. Total of 45. New England hasn't had a potential 3-game losing streak since 2002. You look at the task at hand here. Right now, Payne, I guess the first question, are they only the Patriots in name? Clearly, this is an offense that struggled, losing Julian Edelman and Rob Gronkowski in recent weeks. We know what Deion Lewis meant to the run game. Defensively, they've been stout, but the offense still trying to figure out exactly how to go about replacing those key cogs.
Yeah, I think the general media and the general narrative on, you know, New England is plug and play. And we talked about this a month ago. And it's not just one injury, it's the totality of all the injuries. And when you lose all these guys, it becomes an issue. And Sharpetters reacted to that. They took Denver on Sunday Night Football. They took the Eagles again last week. And when you're positioning yourself for this game, despite 8 out of every 10 tickets coming in on Tom Brady in New England, professionals are going to gravitate towards Houston again. And it looks like the bookmakers are willing to take a stand as well. When you open this line, it's your Sunday night bailout at 3, and the public's looking at this game and saying, no way can Tom Brady lose 3 in a row. No way is New England, you know, only laying 3. It's only a field goal, one possession. So they're going to gravitate towards New England here in this spot. You're going to have a huge dichotomy of pros and the bookmakers taking a stand on the Texans this week while the public is on New England.
I know, I guess the question always for the casual bettor out there as far as market entry is concerned, you wait this game out figuring that 3.5 is going to be inevitable based on how Sunday goes, or do you think there'll be enough sharp support that pushes it down to 3 flat? I'll be honest here, I'd be absolutely shocked if bookmakers were, and I'll say it, dumb enough to go to 2.5 on this game, knowing some of the liability that's out there. But the question remains, aside from some of the recreational books, will we see a 3.5 flat with the maybe potential to try and get a 4 minus $1.20 start to emerge?
It's a good question. We're starting to see this tick back up a little bit. You're now at 3.3 when you factor in your juice. There is some 3.5 out there. If you're in Vegas, it's definitely widely available out there. That, you know, you're going to want the hook here, obviously. And at this point, it's a pretty cheap buy when you're talking about 3 minus 25. Pretty, pretty cheap buy. You can get that same number, basically, on a buy. So it's one and the same there. If you really like Houston, make sure you get the 3.5. That would be, the goal here. I don't think it's worth risking losing the hook just to get a 4 that you're going to have to be juiced on anyways to buy there. So for me, if you do like Houston, I think you get 3.5 and you probably go sooner rather than later.
And we've talked plenty about the Patriots and exactly what they've gone through in recent weeks. Handicapping the Texans let an opportunity a week ago slip through their fingers, where you can make the case they may have been the better side against the Buffalo Bills, but a season-defining stretch now as they'll play host to New England on Sunday night, and then, of course, the huge divisional showdown next week against the Indianapolis Colts.
I think that's a good question on the Texans. Not really sure, you know, what they are. They obviously got revitalized out of their bye week. They saw Andrew Luck go down. So the next few weeks are very, very important. But I think when you look at this game, the familiarity, the offense coming around a little bit, they are playing a little faster offensively. The defense finally starting to, you know, show what we thought they would be to begin the year. J.J. Watt has really turned it up another level. The secondary has been very good. Defense as a whole has really carried this team. And then Hoyer coming back, being able to kind of get his full complement of receivers back with Nate Washington, Cecil Shorts, has really taken all the pressure away from Hopkins and those double teams that he sees. From a standpoint in this game, obviously there's a lot of familiarity with O'Brien knowing what the Patriots want to do, so that'll be key this week. But really the Super Bowl game becomes, you know, at the Colts. That is going to be a must-win game for the division. It's basically division win or bust at this point, so that'll be a huge focus for them in their Super Bowl-like game at Indianapolis.
And we don't deal in superlative often on this podcast, but we heard some pretty strong praise from Bill Belichick calling J.J. Watt the modern-day equivalent of Lawrence Taylor. Now, I know, Payne, you were probably like 4 years old when LT was wreaking havoc wearing the 56 jersey for the Big Blue Wrecking Crew. Any thoughts on such strong comments from Bill Belichick, who's typically mums on giving his opposition any sort of credit?
Yeah, I mean, we know what J.J. Watt is. He's awesome. He's spectacular. Comparing him to Lawrence Taylor, probably at this stage a bit overkill. But, you know, you respect what J.J. Watt does, the havoc he can cause. So for me, you know, you definitely compliment your opponent here. Buttered him up a little bit. There's no reason to tick off a guy like that.
All that comprehensive analysis for some of the biggest games on the NFL slate, courtesy of Payne Insider. If you're not already following him on Twitter, I'm not quite sure why, do so right away at Payne Insider. I'm Todd Furman. You can follow me on Twitter as well at Todd Furman, and subscribe to the Bet the Board podcast, SoundCloud, iTunes, or visit us at toddstake.com. And Payne, oftentimes we get emails. Sometimes folks want to hear their names get mentioned on the air. Others want to stay anonymous with some of their sports gambling-driven stuff, from bankroll management to other inevitabilities that come along with his business. And we had one of our loyal listeners write in a couple weeks ago, we didn't have a chance to get to it, about how we recommend handling a betting slump. We've all been there before, whether it's adjusting his volume, his size of positions, and what to do about bad breaks when they factor into the equation. I know for me personally, it has been it's a bit of a rough stretch in the NFL, losing the Eagles first half under, losing the team total under and full game under on Green Bay Detroit last Thursday, and of course our shared misery on the Cleveland Browns about 10 days ago on Monday Night Football. So interested to get your thoughts on how some of the recreational bettors and even folks that have been in this business a little longer should go about handling their business.
Let it all out, Todd. Let it all out. Vent a little bit. I got plenty of tissues here for you.
Well, you know what? I left out the NBA bad beat, losing by a hook in a game where they somehow managed to score 6 points in the final 3 seconds, since this is an NFL podcast. I didn't want to quite, really throw all the logs onto the fire.
Yeah, that was a tough one. I think something like 29 points the last 3 minutes. LeBron gets beat on a back door. Lots of fun stuff on that total. But getting back to the question, don't know the guy who asked it. Don't really know his betting acumen. If he's a pro bettor, I don't know. If he's a pro bettor, there's really not a massive overall here. You have that proven track record. Your information solid. Your game plan is the same now as it probably was for the extended period, which made you a long-term winner. And the key here is, if you haven't really identified a major issue, meaning, the market has caught up to you and it's time to adjust what you're specifically doing. So if that's the case, I think this answer is significantly different. But if it's not, you really don't need to change much. You just let the valley and the lull run its course, because it's part of the game. When you go back and evaluate your spreadsheet, and the majority of your losses are what you kind of were venting about, and you're going to say, man, that was a good bet, just didn't go my way. You're probably on the right side of a lot of these games. So it is easy to say, cut back volume, cut back your bet size, cut back, your positions. And I agree with those to a certain extent. But if you're truly confident in what you're doing, there are many of the sharpest guys who don't believe in that philosophy, simply because, they don't want to lower their bet size on the ascend and miss out. And I think there's the key to this. Everybody, kind of in the industry, they want to jump on when things are at their best. But if someone truly does have that edge long term, the time to get on is during the downswing, is during the down period when a run is near. So I think it changes a little bit. Obviously, if you're a recreational bettor and you're doing this for fun and you're doing this for a hobby, I'm not sure there's something you change just for, the specific instant. I think it's probably a cultural change as a bettor. You don't have a significant edge, so less is more in general during the lull. You don't need to bet every TV game. You don't need to make the three games that you take and turn them into a parlay. So kind of, let's wrap a bow tie on this thing here. If you truly believe your edge remains the same, I don't think there's reason for massive overhaul. If you're a recreational bettor going through downswings, I think it's time to probably cut back your volume. And in general, not a bad time to do both of those things.
Always good advice for folks that are looking to constantly tweak their game and figure out new and different approaches in pain. I think you hit the nail on the head talking about how professionals look at this long-term volatility. They know what's associated with being in this business, whereas you worry about the casual bettor sometimes not understanding the constraints of his bankroll. So have to keep those things in mind at all times if you want to stay in the game for the long haul. And most importantly, understand and create realistic expectations for yourself. You mentioned TV games. We do have one tonight. An interesting one at that, when you look at the way the market has kind of taken off over the last 90 minutes to 2 hours or so between the Vikings and Cardinals. Minnesota goes on the road to the desert to take on Arizona. You're looking at Bet Online now, with Arizona a 10-point favorite, total here 45.5. Some other shops as high as 10.5. We're seeing 46.5 out there on the total. The big story, the Minnesota Vikings, an absolute mash unit on the defensive side, missing a ton of starters. You look at Anthony Barr out with a groin hand, safety Harrison Smith, knee hamstring, defensive tackle Linval Joseph, and backup safety Andrew Sandejo, all officially ruled out for this game. Should Minnesota even be making the trip given the market movement we're seeing here?
And their backups to the backup at safety is now on IR with a shoulder injury. So you are looking at third-string safety basically playing for Minnesota tonight. I think Dave kind of tipped his hand here. This opened in that 7.5-8 range. It was quickly dummied down by the professionals to come in here and lay 7 and then come in here and kind of double down with, using them as a teaser leg.
So there's absolutely professional money on Arizona. There's absolutely public money on Arizona. But it doesn't matter as much public money is going to come in on this game when you take a game from 7 to 10.5. It's a very, very significant move on Arizona. At this point, at 10.5, as we've kind of reiterated this point a ton, probably not as much value on Arizona. And my feeling is the same guys that were betting Arizona at -7 or even buying it down to 6.5 when it was at 7 are going to come back at some point for a, you know, percentage of position on the Vikings at some point. So at this point, I there's not a ton of value.
11.5 at 5 dimes.
Yeah, that's your classic teaser protection line. Not allowing, you know, books that are hanging 10, you can still take your teaser to 3. So that's what they're protecting against at this point. So not a ton of value from a side perspective at this point if you're looking to join the professionals.
Now, if we want to just kind of take these two teams in a nutshell, tonight's game may not offer a ton of opportunity, especially as we look at this burnt number. But the Vikings last weekend's performance against Seattle, indicative of the direction this team is heading. We heard some of Bruce Irvin's comments about how Teddy Bridgewater looks scared. Adrian Peterson calls out the play calling, only getting 8 touches his first game all season where he didn't get into double-digit carries. And the defensive injuries. Can Minnesota withstand this barrage over the next 4 weeks, or are we talking about a team who the professionals may look to go against early and often the remainder of the season?
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about fading them a little bit. Thank God I have evaded the situation at Atlanta a few weeks ago. Was able to get on the Minnesota fade train this past week with Seattle. But I think the big question is how much can you fix in 3 days? And when you're adding in travel and incorporating that, you basically had 2 work days here to get the stench of a blowout loss at home off of you. And I'm just not sure you can do that. And then you talked about, you know, those injuries piling up. Arizona is an extremely efficient offense, not a place or, you know, a place you want to travel to with, you know, a lack of confidence, with injuries on the defense. And this one thing about this defense, they've kind of regressed, and part of that is to those injuries, but we're now looking at a Zimmer-led defense that we have as just being average in terms of efficiency. And as good as the defense had been earlier on in the year, they had issues stopping the run still at that point, and they're going to have issues stopping the run again tonight, I feel like. So not a ton of value again on the side. When it comes to the total, you know, there's some maneuvering going on here. You would think short week, not a ton to acclimate into the system. The under would make some sense. But again, all those defensive injuries, I think both teams will have some success on the ground. And I think you made a good point. If you are looking at this total under, you know, looking at the first half where you can potentially get 23.5, those comments from Adrian Peterson about getting him the ball. You know, it looks like it holds true. When you look at the Vikings this year, 8-0 when Peterson has 20-plus rush attempts, 0-4 when he does not. Last time he made a little stink, so to speak, about his lack of touches, they fed him 29 carries. So my feeling is the message was delivered loud and clear, and you'll see a lot of ground attack early on from Minnesota.
I think as long as the game stays close early, it'll make sense to keep Peterson involved as a focal point to try and play this game under in the first half. Would make a case for going full game for just those reasons, Payne, especially when you look at a double-digit line. It says that Arizona could build a lead and force Minnesota to abandon that ground-and-pound attack. Don't trust Teddy Bridgewater throwing it all over the yard. And you look at the Cardinals, by interesting scheduling quirks, this is a team only playing its 3rd home game since early October. All of those games have come in prime time. Arizona 0-3 against the spread the last 3 times they've played at University of Phoenix Stadium. So we can expect them to try and hopefully put together a show. And Payne, before we bid our listeners a fond farewell for the NFL Week 14 slate, I know we only covered a handful of the biggest matchups. Weren't sure if there are other games that you had your eye on or thought might provide some interesting opportunities from a watchability or wagering perspective.
Nothing too crazy, to be honest with you. This week is going to be pretty slim from us. It'll be interesting to see if I can get back on the Rams horse with Case Keenum in the saddle. So that'll be an interesting one for me. Haven't done anything there yet. Have to envision that was probably a very, very tough loss for Detroit. So maybe looking at the Rams again, haven't done anything there. A couple of the totals we'll be looking at, obviously. We talked about the weather
Initially, we were looking pretty heavy over in the Cleveland-San Francisco game. We will have to check some weather there in Ohio. Both games in Ohio this week could potentially have some weather there. So Pittsburgh obviously becomes pretty interesting. We have seen some over money, which is extremely real. So other than that, nothing too crazy for me this week.
Sam, any thoughts on your beloved Bears and their tilt with the Washington Redskins?
I got nothing. Let's just pass. But can we pay our respects? I think Martellus Bennett's played his last game as a Bear. Off for the year with a rib injury. Some say it's hurt feelings. I think he's done here in Chicago.
Maybe Zach Miller would be a nice tight end piece, riding him in the fantasy playoffs. If
yeah, Bennett not very happy with all the targets that Miller's gotten in the red zone.
Interesting food for thought, especially for those fantasy players who head into their playoffs. Hopefully most of our listeners are on a bye. They have a chance to kick back and relax before the games start meaning something for real in the semifinals and beyond. For Payne Insider, follow him on Twitter, at Payne Insider. Dave Mason, a bet online. You can follow him on Twitter as well, at Dave Mason, B-O-L. Our loyal producer, Sam Paniatovic. Sam, I think I added a syllable or two or six to your name like I do every week. You can follow him on Twitter, at SPShoot. Best of luck with your NFL Week 14 wagers, whether it's Thursday night or Sunday. Hopefully we'll see you at the window.